Hey guys, Pastor Bear here. Welcome to the podcast for Real Church. We meet every Sunday at 11:15 a.m. at the Worship Center on the campus of Central Christian School in Sharpsburg. You can also check us out online at www.realchurchcoweta.com or jump on Facebook at Real Church Coweta. I hope you enjoy this week's message.
I'm Gil, and this is my story. It's about 5 years old when I lost my dad. He was killed in an auto accident. Him and his buddy were mechanics, and they were going out to pick up a car off the interstate off 285 on Monday morning during rush hour. And a tractor trailer came along and jackknifed, and he was caught in the middle while he was hooking the car up to the truck, to the wrecker. And killed him instantly. My brother, he was not even a year old yet. He was born on my dad's birthday. They actually had the same birthday. But I was five. And so I just have very limited memories of him. But the ones I do have, I keep, you know, make sure I always remember him. Remember the hard times growing up without him. Luckily, I had my grandfather, both of my grandfathers, I really should say, a really big part of my life. If it weren't for them two, I don't know where I would be. And my brother would probably say the same thing, that they stepped in and filled a big gap of where Dad should have been. But it was still tough, you know. My grandfathers, they couldn't be there all the time, so it was still kind of tough, but they were the anchors in our lives. Just because of the circumstances of growing up, my mom moved several times, and she didn't wanted to take me out of the school system that I was in. So I lived with my grandparents probably about half of my kid, you know, up until I was about 18. So I was lucky that I got to spend a lot of time with him growing up. And he just, you know, he would take me out, and just about every day after school, if it weren't raining, we were out there playing ball. You know, he would hit me baseballs, you know. And my grandmother, she was a huge part too. She'd help me with my schoolwork every day. And I lived with them during the week, and I'd go back to my mom's, to my other home where mom was, on the weekend. I just lived with them during the week. So he pretty much raised me, him and my grandmother raised me a good bit. And my grandfather, before I was born, way back when, my mom was a kid, he was a pastor at the time. So he was a good Christian man, and, you know, he was a good influence on me. And I just grew, you know, just really close to him. I just remember a lot of great memories of being with him. And there was a lot of times where I just didn't want to, I didn't want to go home on the weekend just because I loved living with my grandparents and loved my grandfather so much. He would take me everywhere he went. You know, I'd go to the grocery store with him, to the dump with him, to the commissary with him, and just different places always. He was always taking me with him wherever I went. And my other grandfather was that way too. When I'd come home on the weekends, a lot of times I would go to my other grandparents' house. And my other grandfather, he was a godly man. He was a really good Christian. And they actually are the ones that took us, to me and my brother, to church when we were home on the weekends. And so my grandfather, he was the same way. He took us, he'd take me and my brother everywhere, you know. And I just remember those good times. And they both just filled that role of just instilling in me what's, you know, morally right and just Christian values and stuff like that. I would say both sets of my grandparents are big influences on my life, I know, and where I'm at today, and my values and my walk with Christ has a lot to do with the way they brought me up. I'm Gil, and that's my story.
I'm going to invite Gil to come up here. Gil, come on up here. He does not want to be up here, but I'm going to make him come up here anyway. One of the things that I wanted to highlight today, I've known Gil's story for a long time. And one of the things, I just have a few questions for him. He and I talked after doing the video, and he said, you know, I just don't feel like I told everything. And I said, well, look, just come up here and do it. And he said, I don't want to do that. I said, no, you're going to do it. It'll be good. So he got voluntold to do that. No, he agreed to come up here. And I guess, do you remember your dad? Like, how much do you remember of him? Like what do you remember of him?
Just snippets and memories. Mm-hmm.
Like, pick out one of those. Tell me one of those snippets. Do you have one off the top of your head?
Yeah, he was big into motocross, and he raced a motocross, and so he had a dirt bike. And I just remember he put me on the dirt bike and riding me around the house, and my grandmother hated motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And she just happened to go by the house while I was on the motorcycle, and he was on taking me around the house. And she calls the house and says, what is he doing with him? But that's just one of them. He would pit me on the motorcycle with him, and just we'd go around the house.
Any recollection of the day that you found out?
No, I've tried to look back and try to figure out. I don't remember. The only thing I do remember is my mom in a frantic and leaving the house like really quick, like, mm-hmm. and the next door neighbors came over to watch me and my brother. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I remember. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know. And I don't remember. She didn't take me to the funeral or nothing. But I don't remember. That's all I remember of that day.
So after that occurred, and the video showed this a lot, but you had two grandparents, right, that were very instrumental in your upbringing.
Yeah.
You and your brother both, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Gil wanted to share, though, was more about the spiritual aspect of that. So can you tell me what impact they had on you spiritually as far as your walk with God?
Well, I mean, they both were Christian men. And one, like I said, my grandfather on my mom's side, he was a pastor at one mm-hmm. time. And my other grandparents, they took us to church every Sunday. And so they were influenced that way. The main thing was, I really can't, it's hard to explain, but it's like as I was growing up without my father, and I'm sure it has something to do with my grandparents mm-hmm. also, but I always felt close to God.
Gotcha.
Which is kind of weird. I mean, I always looked at him as my father. Mm-hmm. Not as this, you know, something that you have to go to without, you know, I can't put it into words. It's like I could just go to him with anything. I mean, like some people was like, oh, you can't talk to God about that way. Sure. I mean, I'd get angry with God, mm-hmm. and especially when I got older in my late teens and 20s, just because of what happened to my dad.
Yeah.
I was like, why, you know? And I went through a phase of that and everything, but he has a way of understanding. I mean, mm-hmm. He took that anger and I was like, I can't be angry at God, you know?
Sure.
He's God, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just hard to put into words.
Gotcha.
And he just like gave me this peace, you know, and love. He says, I'm here, you know? Yeah. I'm here for you. Even though your dad is not here, I'm here.
I gotcha. All right. The only other question I have is where do you think you'd be if those things hadn't occurred, as far as because your grandparents and especially your grandfathers pointed you toward God, they directed you toward God, where would you be at had they not done that?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think I know. I wouldn't be here. I don't know. That's hard. That's easy. That's hard to say. I don't know where mm-hmm. I would be. I don't know. I don't know because. I might be here. I don't know. It's just hard to say.
Gotcha.
I mean, because I always felt close to God,
mm-hmm.
and I always looked at him as my father.
Yeah.
And even though I would get angry with him sometimes, and I wouldn't understand certain things in my life that had happened, he had a way of not giving me the answers I was looking for, mm-hmm. but just a way of giving me peace
gotcha.
About him.
That's awesome. You guys give it up for Gil.
That's awesome.
Thank you, buddy. It's amazing when you look in the scriptures, because God has a lot to say about the fatherless. I don't know if you know that or not. God has a lot to say about the fatherless. He's got a lot to say about how those with without fathers are treated. Those children who maybe their father wasn't there, or maybe he was there, he just wasn't there for them, you know, in emotionally or spiritually. There's a lot to say in the scriptures about the fatherless. There are, you know, it's interesting because we are literally dads, dudes, guys. We're kind of under attack right now in the society. We kind of are. And if you don't recognize that, you're blind. We're kind of under attack. There's a reason why I like to do this every year, not just that I get to wear shorts on a Sunday. But the bigger reason is this. I want to tell you guys who are sitting here, it is 100% okay for you to be a guy. As a matter of fact, it is 1,000% okay for you to be a guy and for you to be exactly who God wants you to be, who God created you to be. That's exactly what He wants you to be. I'm not a girl. I told my wife, I said, look, I'm a dude, okay? That's what I am. I'm probably not going to be as sensitive as usual. I'm probably not going to, you know, understand as much. I'm going to mow the yard and eat red meat and, you know, kick the dog every once in a while. That's just what I'm going to do. I mean, that's just what I'm going to do. And so I say that to say we are under attack. There's a reason for that, though. The reason that manhood is under attack today is it's actually twofold. The first thing is that, and I posted this, I don't know if you guys saw it last night, but I posted it on social media last night. If a man will come to church, if a man will lead the way in church and come to church, 93% of his family will follow. Are you with me? 93% of families will follow. If it's just a kid that comes to church, it's about 3.5 or 4%. Why is that? Well, because that's the way God's economy was set up. We're supposed to be the ones that guide the way. That's what we're supposed to be. And that's under attack. So the first thing is that the enemy would obviously attack the family. He did that in the Garden of Eden. The first thing he did is attack the family. Why is that? Because it was through the family, that Christ would come. It was through a family lineage that he would come. Christ did not come out of the church. He came out of the family. And so the first thing that was attacked was the family. The second thing, is that men have done a poor job of leading their families and teaching their children what true manhood looks like. We've done a poor job with that, guys. A lot of us have. And we have to turn that around. Where would he have been? Where would Gil have been if it wasn't for his two grandfathers? Where would he have been? We're going to talk about that a little more in a second, but where in the world would he have been? Let me show you what God feels about the fatherless. I think we've got the first verse up there. It's found in Exodus chapter 22. Here's what it says. You must not exploit a widow or an orphan. If you exploit them in any way and they cry out to me, and here's what he says, I will certainly hear their cry, and here's going to be your punishment. My anger will blaze against you, and God's not playing because he says, I will kill you with a sword. Now that's pretty serious. He doesn't say he's going to slap you on the wrist. He doesn't say he's going to punish you in some way. He says, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to literally just kill you. That's what I'm going to do. Here's the next verse. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 14, at the end of every third year, and this is how much God cared about those that were fatherless. At the end of every third year, bring the entire tithe of that year's harvest and store it in the nearest town. Give it to the Levites. Now, the Levites were those that were the spiritual leaders who will receive, who they don't receive an allotment from the land because they were responsible for God's word. give it to the Levites who know allotment among the land among you, as you will, as to the foreigners living among you, the orphans and the widows in your town. And here's what it says, so they can eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all your work. Here's what he says. He says this, I will bless you in all your work if you will take a portion of the tithe, a part of the tithe, and give it away. Give it away, especially to those that are fatherless. To the Levites, the widows, and the fatherless. He cares deeply about that. The next scripture, and by the way, this next scripture, if you've read the book of Ruth, this next scripture is what the book of Ruth is about. It's how Boaz and Ruth met. Let's go to that in Exodus, in Deuteronomy chapter 24. When you are harvesting your crops and forget to bring in a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back and get it. Don't go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows. And then what happens? Then God will bless you in all you do. Now, what would they do? Here's what they would do. They would be getting in their crops. Let's say you had a cornfield. They would be getting in their crops, and they had a cornfield, and they were going through and picking up the things from the cornfield, right? You had that. They were picking it up. They would intentionally leave a portion back. And they did that to honor God and to ask God to bless them. And they left that portion back because here's what would happen. The poor people, those that were widows and orphans, would come out and they would pick up all that was left over. They would get the leftovers, which is what we read in the book of Ruth. They would get the leftovers and they would pick those things up, which is why Boaz said, hey, listen, leave more. Leave more. Continue to leave more. Can I tell you guys something? God cares about those that are fatherless. Why does he care so much? Why is it that God would kill over this situation? Why is it that he would ask us to give a portion for those that are fatherless? Why is it? Well, I'll tell you why. And it's a lot to do with what Gil and I talked about. It's this. Because the father of the house is the one that bestows the blessing. That's why. That's why. The father of the house is the one that passes down the blessing. Now, I've talked about the blessing before. You may say, what's the blessing? Let me tell you what the blessing is. In the Old Testament, we see this often, where a father will call his children in and he will speak a blessing over their life. He will actually speak over, here is what will occur in your life, and it will be a blessing to them. And the children then will take that blessing, and they will walk in that blessing all the days of their life. Can I tell you something? Whether you realize it or not, dads, you, whether you realize it or not, are speaking a blessing over your children. My question to you would be, how much of a blessing are you speaking over your kids? So what does the blessing do? I want to briefly go through these. Here's what the blessing does. The blessing provides an identity. The blessing provides an identity. One of the saddest things I've seen in my life is a person who constantly is looking for their identity. Do you guys know people like that? Do you guys know people that are constantly trying to figure out who exactly they are? They're trying to figure out exactly who they are, why they're here. The saddest thing is to see adults doing that. See, there comes a time in a teenager's life when that teenager wants to begin to separate and break away. And some of you mom and daddies have a problem with that, especially the mamas. A lot of y'all have a problem with that because you want to kind of protect them. But here's the truth. That father has spoken over that blessing to them. And when they begin to break away, they take that identity with them. If you have done your job, they will take that identity with them and they will walk in the blessing of the identity that you have given them. That's what they'll do. They'll do that. We see that. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, the scripture doesn't say train up a child in the way that you think that they should go. God's got a plan for them just like he had for you. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. That's what the scripture says. The blessing provides an identity. Can I tell you guys something? Your home should be a safe place for your children to develop an identity. Why is it that Gil's grandparents were so valuable to him? Why is that? That he and his brother's grandparents were so valuable? Because they gave them an identity. And they provided a safe place for them to form and fashion and mess up an identity. Until whenever they got a little older, they walked out and they walked in it. That's what the blessing does. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you a little secret. If you don't give your children the identity that God wants them to have, someone else will give it to them. They will search out and they will look out and they will find the identity. Can I tell you something, dads, with daughters? Your daughter will go and search out an identity from some guy instead of from you. And that will be the saddest day of your life. Can I tell you something? Dads with boys, your boy will go and search out an identity in some work he does or something he has or some conquest he's made, and that'll be the saddest day. Because the identity is to come from you. It's from God through you to your children. The blessing gives the identity. The blessing also provides self-worth. Right along with the identity, it provides a sense of self-worth. Here's what it says to your kids. It says, you have value. You have value. Can I tell you that Gil's life could have went a totally different way? And he and I have talked about this. It could have went a totally different way. It really could have. It could have went way off the tracks, man. It could have went way, way off the tracks. Why didn't it? I'll tell you why it didn't. Because God provided people that would identify him and give him self-worth. That self-worth says this: you are valuable not because of what you do, here's the key, but because of whose you are. That's what I want you to hear. You're valuable because of whose you are. You know, my son sitting right here in front of me, he has value not because he can get up and play a guitar or because he makes good grades in school. He has value because he's my kid. He's a creation of God. He has a plan from God, and he's my kid. And I try to tell him all the time, I'm so proud of you. I love you. You know what I'm telling him? You don't have to perform for me. Now, I want you to do well, but you're valuable because of whose you are, not because of what you do. And when we don't get that, we go out and we try to perform for this person and that person and this person and that person, and you won't be able to perform well enough for anyone. You will always let someone else down. Why? Because God's economy doesn't set up that you can get your value or your identity. He didn't have it set up that you get it from some other Yahoo. He has it set up that you get it from a strong father figure. From a strong father figure, from a strong grandfather, from a strong, from a strong set of grandparents. That's what the blessing does. The blessing also guides and directs. The blessing guides and directs. Can I tell you, my dad taught me a few bad things, but I learned a lot of valuable things from my dad. Can I tell you one of the things I learned from my dad? I learned that you work and you earn what you have. That you work, you don't slack off. That you work hard and you provide for your family. And you work to get what you have. You don't cheat people out of it. You don't do those kind of things. I learned that from my dad. You guys have learned from your dad. Hey, treat people with respect. Be your best every day. I've got a whole list of them here. You learn those things from your father. You may learn them from your grandfather. Here's the coolest part of the blessing, though. Because some of you are sitting there and some of you are saying, listen, thank you so much for the sermon, Pastor Barry, but my dad was a jerk. My dad left me and I didn't have a grandparent. I didn't have a grandfather. I didn't have what Gil had. I didn't have what his brother had. I didn't have any of those things. My dad was a jerk. Still does get on my nerves, actually. Or I never saw my dad. My dad was gone. So I've got great news for you. And Gil alluded to it earlier. I got great news for you. Are you ready for this? In the end, it's God that wants to be your father. Are you with me? God wants to be your father. God wants to give you your identity. I want you to hear that. God wants to give you your identity. God wants to give you your self-worth. God wants to guide and direct you. That's what God wants to do. That's what He wants His role to be. Now, let me say something. He can either use other people to do it, like He has in my life, or also like He has in my life, He can do it Himself. I remember times I didn't even know God until I didn't know who God was until I was almost 19. And so I remember times though when I was 4 and 5 and 6 years old, laying in my bed, I would cover my head and I would literally start praying, God, please keep. And I would start listing out every person I could think of, those people alive tonight. And then I would fall asleep. I didn't know who He was. But when I would start speaking out, I would get this total sense of peace that would come all over me. The same peace that Gil talked about that would come all over him. God wants to be your father. He wants you to run to Him. He wants you to guide. He wants to guide you. He wants to give you your self-worth. He wants to provide for you an identity. He has a plan and He has a purpose. I'm so thankful that Gil was willing to share his story because it shows a couple of things. One, it shows that God understands our hurt and our pain because He came to him. He came to him at his desperate time of need. Secondly, it shows that God cares enough about us that He will send other people. If you look, He will send other people to fill in the role that we have lost. Maybe if something happened or your dad does not measure up to what you need. He sent those people. Gil got to experience both of those. I hope that your dad was incredible. I really do. I hope that your father was a godly man that poured into you. I know a lot of you here. I know your dads are godly people. I respect them more than anything. Some of your dads here poured into me. So I know they're godly people. But if you didn't have that, I have a message for you. God wants to be your father in your biological father's place. And that's what I want you to know today for Dude Day 2019. Let me pray for you. Lord God, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, God, for filling in the empty spaces of our lives with your presence. Thank you so much for just providing an overwhelming sense of peace is what Gil said. It just kind of blew me away when he said it because I was like, man, that's me too. Thank you so much for the peace that you give us. God, we love you. We identify you as our Lord and our Savior. God, we ask you to pour the blessing onto us. Give us our identity. Give us our self-worth. Guide and direct us. And God, as you do that, we won't go astray. We won't walk all these. We will give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in the strong and mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and have a final worship song.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of Real Church Coweta. If you have any questions or if you would like to contact us at Real Church, please go to our website at www.realchurchcoweta.com and click on the Contact Us tab. We invite you to join us on Sunday at 11:15 a.m. at the Worship Center on the campus of Central Christian School in Sharpsburg. Also, check out our website or Facebook page for directions. Until next time, God bless, and remember to love God, love others, and live real.